You may be seated. I invite you to turn to the back of your bulletin where you will find our scripture reading for this morning, the one assigned to us by our lectionary. It started out that evening as a joyful Passover meal, a time of remembrance and of gratitude to celebrate Israel's deliverance from Egyptian bondage. It was a memorial week for Israel, a time to celebrate, to have gratitude, to be inspired in faith. And we find the disciples enjoying that memorial meal in the upper room with Jesus, and things are going swimmingly, that is, until they're not. Because all of a sudden, Jesus makes it very clear that he's going to be leaving them. And what starts out with great joy ends with an impending sense of doom. The disciples are absolutely wrought with fear, and they make their fears known to Jesus. They'd stake their entire life on him, and now he says, very flippantly, all of a sudden, at this wonderful memorial meal, he's leaving them. He no longer will be with them, and their world begins to fall apart. Fear takes over, as it does with us all. And if you read through the Upper Room Discourse, John 14 through 16, you'll see the panicked disciples express their worries and anxieties by constantly inundating Jesus with questions. Question after question. Why are you leaving us? Where are you going? And the real issue is not Jesus. The issue is them. What about us? What are we going to do when you're no longer with us? Their fears take over. All of a sudden, their fear and worry runs deep. And of course, that's our connection to this story. We know how fears can consume us. We know how, in light of threatening news, perhaps of losing a relationship we value, all of a sudden our fears can go into high speed and we're overcome by those very same fears. We live in a world where there's plenty to fear. All you got to do is watch the evening news or read your newspaper. The menace of terrorism, falling markets, the threat of war. In our own lives, loss of health, loss of physical abilities, loss of mental faculties, the loss of independence, the ability to care for ourselves, or just the natural anxieties of being rejected, of failing, or just the general smog of the fear of the future. We have those fears. They're constantly latent within our own lives, and they are, if you will, driven into high speed by our world that is primarily fear-driven. Our politicians use fear to gain votes. Our advertisers use fear to sell products. Our media uses fear to preserve its ratings. If it bleeds, it leads. And by the way, this could happen to you. And to make sure it doesn't, you need to buy this. And to make sure it doesn't, you need to vote for me. And on we go with this fear-driven society and culture we live in, already taking those latent background hum of fears we already know and experience and allowing them to be intensified to a high gear. Now, one of the things I have found very interesting about fear is something that if you listen to it, it can actually teach you something about yourself. You can learn from fears because fears are almost always attached to the fear of losing something we value. The fear of losing something that is important or precious to us. 800 years ago, Thomas Aquinas in his Summa Theologica gave the best definition of fear I'm aware of. Fear arises from imagining a future evil that threatens the loss of something we love. Losing the people we love, losing the experiences we cherish, losing the possessions we value, it is always a response to love. So that if we love, we will by default fear. It's inevitable. Fear is the price you pay for loving something. You will fear losing it. You'll be anxious about not having it in your possession. You'll be fearful that this person might be removed from your presence. That's why Jesus and the scriptures take fear so seriously. It's why Jesus in this Upper Room Discourse answers every fearful, worried questions the disciples ask. Jesus doesn't turn off any of their questions. He instead responds to them at times in ways they don't expect, but he responds to every single one of them because he's trying to bring his disciples to a very important point, and that point is found in the last line of our reading. He wants them to get to this point. Look at the last line. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and stop being afraid, disciples. Don't fear. He's trying to respond to their concerns, their worries in such a way that He can get them to the point where they know His peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. If you're looking for an answer to fear from the world's perspective, well, it's all about safety and security and power and more military and more products and all of that. But if you're looking for the answer to fear that Jesus gives, it's going to be in a completely different category, but His answer has to do with addressing their very real concerns and their fears. One of the amazing things about Jesus is He takes fear seriously because He knows that fear immobilizes us. Fear keeps us from acting in faith. Fear never ever produces anything of value in the end. Max Lucado, I think the Sunshine Gals read this book, Fearless. He makes a wonderful statement when he says, "For all the noise fear makes and room it takes, fear does little good. Fear never wrote a symphony or poem. Fear never negotiated a peace treaty. Fear never cured a disease. Fear never pulled a family out of poverty or a country out of bigotry. Fear never saved a marriage or a business. Courage did all those things. Faith did that. Fear herds us into a prison and slams the door." Jesus is well aware that the fearful heart cannot be a faithful heart. That the heart that is overcome by fear will be more concerned about its own security and safety and self-preservation and will not have the energy or faith to risk loving others and to risk obeying God. Jesus is quite aware that it is fear that will negate faith, and because of that, He's going to address their fears in a very serious way. One more quote before we look at Jesus' answer. This is from Mark Price. He wrote a book on worship, and I think this is such a great quote on how fear opposes faith. "We fear most losing what we love most." That's Aquinas all the way. "What we love most invariably includes the things that make us and those closest to us safe and secure and comfortable and healthy now and in the future. We resist losing control over or letting go of those things we believe will guard against what we fear could happen in the future. When we do that, we tighten our grip and close our hands. As a result, we can become uncharitable, inhospitable, and even unchristian. The more we allow our lives to be shaped by fear, the easier it becomes to value being safe over being faithful." This is the reason Jesus cannot allow their fears to overwhelm them at this point. They have legitimate reason to fear. Jesus is leaving them. He's been upfront about that. But He cannot allow those fears to overwhelm them because at the very start, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." He wants them to go into the world to witness of the glory of God, to witness of God's saving grace, to be a strong, faithful presence in the world. And they're not going to do that if they're cowering in fear because Jesus is leaving them. And so what Jesus does is He addresses these very legitimate fears. The fear of being forgotten, the fear of being unloved, and the fear of losing something very precious to them, a relationship that they cherish and value. And He's going to answer those, not in the way the world would. He even makes that clear Himself. But as the presence of the Holy Spirit in their midst and in their lives. And to that, He's going to say, "With the presence of the Holy Spirit, your fear of forgotten will be relieved. I won't leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. The world won't see me, but you'll see me. The world won't understand the life I'm imparting, but you'll understand. It'll be something that's obvious to you as you abide in the Spirit." To that fear of being unloved, He's going to speak of the home that they will have as they're in union with Christ in the Spirit, and the Father, Son, and Spirit make their home in the lives of the disciples, making it a home and hearth of love and acceptance and grace. And to that fear of loss, that perhaps the future might completely undo all of this, He will say, "The Spirit will be with you forever, eternally. This is a gift you do not have to worry about being removed or of losing." And so Jesus is going to address their fears. His answer to their fears is the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to develop each one of these very quickly because that's what our text is all about. To their fear of being forgotten or being alone, Jesus says in verse 18, "I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you." Now, you heard in the children's sermon, to be an orphan is to have no home, to be unloved, to not have a place where you belong, to not have the presence of love in your life. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to come to you through the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate. Now, the word advocate translates the Greek parakletos, the paraclete. Paraclete is an interesting word because when Jesus says, I'm going to give you another advocate, paraclete and advocate, you know, that sounds somewhat legal, although an advocate can be someone who comes alongside you. Paraclete just literally means one who's called alongside in times of trouble, in times of need. It's the person who comes alongside you, puts an arm around you and says, you can make this. Yeah, I'm going to be with you. I won't leave you. I'll comfort you. I'll counsel you. I'll help you. All of those are ways you can translate parakletos, another comforter, another counselor, another helper. But it is this parakletos, this Holy Spirit, that will manifest the presence of Christ. And that's why verse 18 is so important. I won't leave you orphaned. I'm going to send the parakletos. And through that parakletos, I am coming to you. I will return. It'll be in a different way. The Spirit will manifest my presence, manifest my comfort, manifest my help and my counsel. I won't leave you as orphans. I will eternally be your companion through the person of the Holy Spirit in your life. The world won't get that. They don't understand it. That's why verse 19, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. This is a different kind of seeing. It's the sight of faith. The world doesn't get it. They don't understand it. But the divine presence and power will reside with you through the person of the Spirit manifesting my presence in your life. And because of that, because I live, verse 19, you also will live. What Jesus is saying is very important. Every once in a while, you know, different workers will come in or people will come in, sometimes even parishioners, and they use language like this. You know, the man upstairs, and they think I should be proud of that. And like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm I guess religious, so man upstairs is cool. I don't like that at all. First off, it's not a man, it's God. Secondly, I don't like it simply because Jesus says the presence of God will be in your life. You need to look for God not just up, but with and in. For as Father God is for us, as Christ God is with us, as Spirit God is in us. So if we're always pointing upstairs, we don't listen to Jesus. Jesus says, you need to know that there's a presence that will always be with you. You will never be forgotten. You'll never be orphaned because the divine Spirit will come and enter your lives and be an eternal counselor, comforter, advocate, helper. God is working in your midst, even within the deepest parts of your life. You are never alone. You are never unloved. You are never forgotten. I know we feel like that. Our fears exacerbate and intensify those feelings of being unloved and forgotten. And of course, people do forget us and stop loving us. But the one thing we can be assured of is, I will not leave you. I am coming to you. The Father will send the Paraclete. The fear of being forgotten is a fear that Jesus addresses through the gift of the Spirit. Then he moves on to that fear of being unloved and talks in deeply mystical language. That whole middle paragraph gets about as deep as you can. I am in my Father, you are in me, I'm in you. This deep language of participation and union and the love of God, which is that love that the Father has for the Son and the Son for the Father, is bound together through the love that is the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden you get pictures and metaphors and illustrations in our mind that take us close to the truth, but the truth is so much greater, so much more wonderful. So that Jesus is trying to just simply get us to see this. Verse 23, those who love me will keep my word. My Father will love them. And we, that means the Son and the Father, will come to them and will make our home with them because the Spirit, at the end of verse 17, will be in you. The Spirit will make known the fact that the triune God comes to make a home within us. That we are, if you will, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are, if you will, the ones who've been immersed into the love and life of God. It's really not that mystical when you realize that the very baptismal formula, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, immerses us into the life and love and joy and deep relationship of God who is love itself. And so we are called into this sense that not only will we never be forgotten, we will always be loved, because the home that we have is a home we take wherever we go. We will make our home in you. That the Spirit of God manifest God's indwelling presence in our lives. And Jesus then caps it all off by saying, you know, you fear being forgotten, I won't leave you orphaned. You fear being unloved, the very God who exists is going to come and inhabit your life. And know this, I know you fear the future, disciples. I know you think that a door could turn, you could pass down a hallway, something could happen, and you'll lose everything you value, because that's the essence of fear, that you fear losing what you value, that it's not going to stick with you. But he says these words, which I hope you will underscore, verse 16, I will ask the Father, he'll give you another advocate, and here's the beautiful words, to be with you forever. Jesus is leaving them. He will go to the cross, he will die, he will rise, and then in the church's understanding, he comes back, but then he ascends into heaven and sends the Spirit so the Spirit might manifest his presence globally, not just in a person here in an earthly ministry. This is what Jesus is alluding to, and he says, when the Spirit comes, that Spirit who allows you to have a home, to know that you are loved, to know that you're never forgotten, will abide with you forever. And all of this he wants to cap off by saying, verse 25, I've said these things to you while I'm still with you. You know I said I'm leaving? I'm telling you this right now because I want you to know the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you that all I've said, so that you might know my peace, that your hearts might not be troubled, that you might not be afraid. Which brings us back to fear. It's interesting to me. Jesus' teaching is very important. We need to listen to what he says. I know you agree with me on that. If you read through the Gospels, there's a command that he gives 8 times. And that command is, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. 8 times in the Gospels. He says that's the most important command. But it's not the most voluminous command. Because he says that 8 times. You know what he says 125 times in the Gospels? Stop being afraid. Do not fear. Just by quantity alone, we see that Jesus, who believes we should love God and love neighbor and sees that as the most important, knows that what will undermine that and cause that not to exist is fear. And so taking our fear seriously, he says again and again, do not be afraid. He knows we're going to be afraid. And it's here in this passage that he gives us a basis, a reason to understand that his answer to our fears is not necessarily having so much insight that we can handle every situation. It's not necessarily having all the safety and security and weapons and things to keep us safe and preserved. It is to trust that God will never leave us, to trust that God through the Spirit has made a home in us, to trust that we will never be forgotten or unloved, and to trust that that can't be lost. The Spirit will be with you forever. When he says that, he is trying to get us to enter into his peace. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. If you're looking for the kind of the answers the world gives to address fears, it's not what Jesus is saying. The Spirit that comes and manifests God's love and presence and grace so that you might obey God, go out and be a faithful presence, love others, love neighbor, seek justice, be compassionate, all that. His answer is so much different in that he invites us to know the Spirit. That's the antidote to immobilizing fears. Jesus takes fears seriously. He gives us this answer because he knows at the end that our fears will eclipse our faith if we let them spiral out of control. One last quote and I'm done. This is also Max Lucado, and I think this is also from the Fearless book. When fear shapes our lives, safety becomes our God. When safety becomes our God, we worship the risk-free life. Can the safety lover do anything great? Can the risk-averse accomplish noble deeds for God, for others? No. The fear-filled cannot love deeply. Love is risky. They cannot give to the poor. Benevolence has no guarantee of return. The fear-filled cannot dream wildly. What if their dreams sputter and fall from the sky? The worship of safety emasculates greatness. No wonder Jesus wages such a war against fear. I think Jesus knows there are plenty of reasons to be troubled and afraid, but Jesus gives us better reasons to trust and obey. I'm giving my Spirit, who will be with you forever. You will never be forgotten. You will always be loved. Now go and obey my commandments to love God and love your neighbor with a passion. To the fearful, Jesus says, and I'm going to close with this. I want you to hear this as if Jesus is saying this to you. Verse 27, you're fearful. I don't know what your fear might be right now. You certainly have one or two or dozens. Here's what Jesus says to you and I. Hear him speaking through the Spirit. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, dear believer, lonely believer, forgotten believer, fearful of being forgotten. And do not be afraid. Would you pray with me?